Last week I preached on Samuel, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it today, because it is one of those stories that has all of the traits that you need to have a good story going on. It has good character development, its plot moves relatively quickly, and its themes can be traced from generation to generation to generation. From way back 3,000 years ago to today, the themes still have some resonance for us. In this passage, last week we heard about how Samuel was called, and in this week we hear of him as he's getting older, and he's had children, and the people are asking him to replace judges with kings. And Samuel was the last judge, and he was telling them and giving them warnings about what kings could do to them. What they were trying to do is replace, because Samuel's children were not following his ways and didn't live up to his standards. So they were replacing a judge who would pass on the judgeship to the children. They were replacing that with a king who would be followed up by his children. It didn't really make sense to Samuel why they would want to do that. And he told them all the things that were going to happen with the kings. And if you continue on, as you read further into the story and you get into the stories of the kings, you find out that all of those things happened plus some. The kings were just, they were disasters. But Samuel it has this quote that right at the end of all of that, that really resonates throughout the generations. It's this: "You will cry out because of your king who you have chosen for yourself." Now, I'm going to just let that sit there for a second. Because you can replace the word king with governor or mayor or senator or premier or prime minister or president. You can fill it in with all of these different words for the leadership. And if you look through history, you find that there's a lot of times that we are unhappy with what's happening around us and with our leadership. And that this passage of scripture reminds us of what it's like to live in a community of people, what it's like to live in a family. Because there are times in families where you are doing ups and downs and you have different things going on. And this passage of scripture is telling us that we got to live through these moments, because they're part of who we are. They're part of human life. And how do we live in this thing? How do we get through the struggles and the trials and tribulations that are happening around us? How do we deal with that on a daily basis? Now, family is a thing that we consider to be very important. I see a lot of families sitting together today. You have gathered together in this place as families. And we call St. Patrick's a family. And we might have a family with our colleges or with our sports teams, maybe like the Capitals. We have all of these kinds of family groups that we gather around them, and we want to be close to them. But families also have this other part. It's called the high maintenance family member. The ones that don't have a filter and may just kind of blurt out things, and maybe they're truths that kind of sit poorly in the family. Or maybe they are the ones that never follow through when they say they're going to do something. Maybe they're the people that just show up unannounced at your doorstep. Maybe we are all part of those high-maintenance family members ourselves. Family is an important concept in our lives. Family is a way we want to be. We say we love family and we want to be a part of a family, but family is hard. Family is difficult work. And that's why when Jesus says the words that he said today about family, it makes us uncomfortable. We want Samuel's children to have that ability to move forward. We want Jesus to look at his family. He says, I don't care about those mothers and brothers and sisters. I'm looking at all of you. And that's a challenging statement. This passage from this quote from Desmond Tutu speaks to this as I was thinking about what we're talking about today. You don't choose your family. They are God's gift to you as you are to them. That's what family means to us. And so when Jesus calls out and challenges the idea of family, which he does consistently, he keeps saying, oh, well, yeah, we're going to leave our families behind. We need to go out and do something. But you have to understand the context of where Jesus was when he was saying this. He was in his hometown of Nazareth. He had just started his ministry, and he was gathered there, and the people were his neighbors, the people he grew up with. They were calling him out and saying, how can this guy be here? And his family did what a family normally does. They came out to protect him. They said, Jesus, come over here. You need to get away from those people. We need to keep you safe. We want to protect you. We want to make things comfortable. We don't want you to be in these tough situations. And Jesus said, that's not my calling. That's not what I'm called to do in this world. My family is greater than this. It's more than blood relations. It's more than the people that share a name. Family for Jesus was all people. Everybody he encountered was part of his family. Now, if we think it's hard to think about family in a small group of people, the people that you share a name with, a lineage, just think if you expand that out and think of everybody you encounter as being part of your family, that you're going to give that kind of attention to that vast a group of people. That was what Jesus was talking about. That is what Jesus was calling them to do. Now, thinking about that and thinking about the idea of family in the way that Jesus was considering it at that point, I want you to reread this quote. You don't choose your family. They are God's gift to you as you are to them. What if Archbishop Desmond Tutu was talking about how do we live in our wider family? The people that we don't choose because they are all people. They're everybody that we encounter in our lives. And then try to take it the next step, and how do we respond to that? How do we live into that? How do we help the world and love the world in a way that makes it a wider family? This week, week and a half, I've been moving. It is the fourth time I've moved in the 8 years I've lived in Washington. You should feel sorry for me. As a result of this move, this is a move to, I'm only moving four floors, I'm in the same building, but as I'm moving, I'm sifting through things, as I've gotten really good at, and some of it goes away, some of it stands, and I'm organizing it, and one of the things that I did this week was I organized my books into this wonderful new built-in bookcase. It was awesome. And I was stacking them, getting them, and putting them in order. Oh, this is categories. And I was working on all this kind of stuff. And as I was doing that, I pulled up this book. I've had it for a long time. It is the Book of Common Prayer. It is beautifully bound. And as I was doing that, this piece of paper fell out that was inside the book. I hadn't looked at this piece of paper for a long time. It's dated August 2nd, 2000. And one. Dear Kurt, I thought and thought about some small gift we could give you as you begin your new ministry at St. Andrew's. Now, this August of 2nd, 2001, I was moving from my curacy in Nebraska, and I was moving to Austin, Texas to begin my ministry at St. Andrew's. Quite by accident, while looking for something else, I came across the enclosed two books. This was one of them, which I had purchased some years ago. I was attracted to them because of the material beauty of the binding, illustrations, and printing, which seemed so very appropriate to the beauty of the faith, hope, and love the words they contain represent. Your mother and I hope that you realize how very proud and blessed we are to have had the privilege of being your parents, watching you mature into a fine young man and following the call you perceive from God to be his priest and serve and minister to his people. And we hope you also know how much we love you. You will soon begin a new ministry, one that you feel especially called to and one that is so important because it involves the formation and character of young people in your charge. There is no question that you bring much to that ministry and are an effective communicator to young students. I'm not reading that to you because... While we could selfishly wish that you would be closer, we know that you must answer the call you feel, and the way things have worked out, it appears that your ministry at St. Andrew's has been ordained to be. You are ever in our prayers. Please keep us in yours. And it was signed, Love, Dad. I read you this because these words were about how he was willing to send me out. He'd done the work that a family does, and he said, I'm sending you out to be with your other family, the people that you encounter every day. Those are the things that we have to learn as we hear the gospel about how we expand the vision of our family, how we open our arms to new people, how do we become greater people by loving more than just our group, but loving everybody we encounter as if they were your own family. Thinking of these words, you don't choose your family. They are God's gift to you as you are to them. Please stand and join with me in the summary of our faith, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally